Ming Lin is from Kansas State. She's going to present genomic prediction marker-assisted selection for wheat resistant in pre-harvest sprouting. So, here we go. You're set.
Thanks for the introduction. So, genomic prediction and marker-assisted selection for wheat pre-harvest sprouting resistance. Probably you noticed that I put a quotation mark on marker-assisted selection because it's not the classical meaning of the marker-assisted selection, and I'll explain that later in my presentation. So PHS pre-harvest sprouting is the germination of physiologically matured grains in wheat spikes before harvesting. Once the grains start to germinate, the protein and starch inside begin to degrade, and this will reduce the grain end use quality, and you will never expect to make good profit from that. PHS usually happen in the planting areas where it rains a lot during the harvesting season. People do not have much control of the weather, so the essential thing is to breed for pre-harvest sprouting resistant lines. Many studies have been done on PHS resistance, and the QTLs have been mapped on almost all the 21 wheat chromosomes. The major QTLs were mapped on chromosome 3A, 4A, and 2B, and the causal gene for the 3A QTL have been cloned, and the candidate gene for the 4A QTL were proposed recently. So to do genomic selection, people usually start with a training population, which we have both the phenotypic data and genotypic data. And we do regression to estimate the breeding value of each locus. Then we apply these breeding values to a testing population by summing up the breeding value of all the loci to estimate the genome-wide, to estimate genomic estimate breeding values for your trait. The thing is, if you use markers from the whole genome, we call it genomic prediction. And if you only use markers from that closely link to your trait, we call it marker-assisted selection here. Many studies have been done on genomic prediction. It's about grain yield. Grain yield is a complex trait controlled by a number of QTLs. However, we don't know much about these QTLs. In a very different circumstance, we know some information about PHS resistance. It's controlled by less than 20 QTLs, and the QTL effects may vary in different environments. And that's why we're curious about how genomic prediction will perform on PHS resistance. So in this study, we want to compare genomic prediction accuracies between different regression methods, and we want to compare genomic prediction with prediction using markers closely linked to the trait. Also, we want to study the environmental effects on genomic prediction. The materials we used here is a natural population of 185 U.S. elite breeding lines and cultivars. The DNA were extracted by the CTAP method, and the population were genotyped using the Nike wheat SNP chip. To estimate the germination rate, we did four experiments. They were in 2013 and 14 in both Manhattan and Hayes. We collected five physiologically matured spikes for each line and dried them for 10 days. Then we incubated these spikes in a growth chamber for 7 days. And after that, you get spikes like this. And then we calculate the germination rate at the number of germinate grains divided by the total number of the grain. Since we only have one population here, we need to do cross-validation. We use leave-one-out cross-validation, which means we construct the model using 184 lines and then to predict the rest line in the population. We do this for 185 times so that each line gets an estimate germination value, germination rate. Then we do the correlation between the observed germination rate and the estimated germination rate. And the correlation, the higher the correlation, the better the prediction is. And the regression methods we use here is RBLOB and some Bayesian methods. So let's check the result. First is the distribution of sprouting rate. We have pretty much similar distribution for all the four experiments. And you probably notice we have many lines have low germination rates because most of my cultivars in the population were red wheats, which tend to have a longer dormancy, and this will result in low germination rate. To start the genomic prediction, we use four methods. And for each method, we construct the model and do the validation, use the data from the same experiment. And from this graph, you can see RBLOB generally give the best prediction on average, and the BSB and BSC methods gives better prediction than BSC0. And in the later study, we use RBLOB because it gives the best estimate. So to make the analysis much more realistic to the breeding process, we decide to construct model with one experiment and then make predictions for other three experiments. And this time, to my surprise, the model construct from, for example, one experiment didn't give the best prediction for itself in most of my experiments. So I suspect that the model constructed by genomic prediction cannot capture genetic variance very well. So let's first check the results from microsystem selection. The first step, I did GWAS for using the same population for pre-harvest sprouting resistance, and I identified 13 SNPs in three QTL regions that were closely linked to the trait. They were on chromosome 3A, 4A, and 1B. Then I used the 13 QTLs to do the exactly same thing as I did with the markers from the whole genome. And the first thing I found was they gave better prediction accuracies. The prediction accuracy was improved from 0.27 something to 0.4 something. The second thing is, if you take a closer look at this graph, this time the model constructed by one experiment actually gave the best prediction for itself in each experiment. So that confirmed my guess. The model constructed by fewer number of SNPs actually can capture the genetic variance better than the one constructed from the genomic prediction. And the next thing we did is to add environmental effect into the model, because PHS resistance is greatly influenced by the environment. And a good thing is we got better prediction from 0.4 to 0.8. And for example, this is a graph of Manhattan 13 experiment, and the blue dots represent the experiment without environment effect, and the red dots represent the prediction accuracy with environment effect, and it improved from 0.43 to 0.87 something. So to summarize, We found our blood gives better prediction accuracies than the BSE method, and we found that probably for traits controlled by several QTOs, the prediction made by microsystem selection is better than the prediction made by the genomic prediction. And for traits greatly influenced by the environment, environmental factors should be considered in the model to increase genomic prediction accuracies. And I would like to thank my lab members and Dr. Guang Zhang for helping with the PHS phenotyping. I'd like to thank Dr. Jiemin Yu for providing advice on data analysis, and thank Dr. Xiaoman Shao for SNP genotyping. Also, I'd like to thank TCAP and USDA for funding the project. So with that, I'm ready to take questions. The question was, how do I need to involve the environmental effects into the genomic prediction model? I just add two columns of data. One represents for the year, and another represents for the location, and treat them as the random effect. Any other questions?